Right, what's going on, everyone? This is your host, Alonzo, coming back to you with another episode of Life in Fatherhood. Now, we have a very, 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 very special guest, our first guest of the podcast, as it should be, my dad, Alonzo Williams, Sr., the one and only. Say what's going on to the people, Paul.
What's going on, people? How's everybody doing? I'm assuming everybody's saying good.
Yeah. I'm sure they good. I know they good. You know, this is the first official, you are the first official guest on the podcast. Of course, I want to open it up. We're going to jump right into it. You know, wanted to ask you about your experience, you know, just, of course, being a father, but more importantly, just who you are as a person. Okay. You know, everything from your childhood to now, what shaped you? Because like now you in the bigger league. You're not just a dad now. Now you're a grandfather.
Yeah, I'm a papa now.
You're a papa now, man. So that's even
graduate.
Listen, that's even bigger blessing. So you know, just want to don't you take everybody through just who you are. You know, where you're from, things like that.
Well, as he said, I am Alonzo Williams Sr. Born and raised in Alabama, Seal, Alabama. Of course, now it's annexed as Phoenix City. I would have to say that I had a really great childhood. I was raised primarily by my mom and my grandparents. Fortunately, my father wasn't around. I'm not sure. I can't say that I'm sure why. You know, he had his reasons for not wanting to be a part of my life. And then I can't say that I hate him for it or dislike him in any way because I never knew him. Even today, if he was to walk up to me and shake my hand, I wouldn't know who he was. Mm. Of course, I know that he's passed on many years ago. Mm-hmm. I have half brothers and sisters that I've only met. But one of my half brothers, we grew up in the same area.
Okay.
And I've had half sisters that I've met at a funeral, spoke to him then, but hadn't spoke to him since. And that's just part of life. But I would have to say overall, I've had a really good life. Yeah. Trying to be politically correct, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Young kid, I listened to my grandfather, who's a very, very wise man. I mean, he spent over 60 years making bricks. And the one thing that he taught me that I've always carried with me is that as a man, and I guess you heard that, that's one of my grandbabies. That's my oldest. he wants to come out with daddy and granddaddy. You want to let him in? Just tell me. Hey, buddy.
Say hello to the people. Say hello, people.
That's
my oldest son decided to come in and say hello. He brought in his toys. I guess he wants to play with them. So we're going to play with him after we're finished. Okay, buddy?
Yeah.
All right.
Papa and Granddad will be in there soon.
Yeah. All right. That's our other special guest. So, you know, y'all got a special treat just now.
Okay. What was I say? Oh, yeah. My grandfather always told me that, you know, as a man, primarily, you always, always got to put family first. And I live by that to this day. He said that as a man, when it comes to working, if you're breathing and you can get out of the bed, you might have a cold or feel a little bit under the weather. But if you can get out of the bed, you go to work because it's your responsibility as the man or the head of the household and the man of the household to make sure things are taken care of. So if you can get out of bed, go to work. I live by that, and I'm glad I instilled that also in my son, you know, because he's a hard worker. He does what he has to do. As an adult, you know, I've been married now almost 40 years. My wife, when she first met
me. Wait, say that one more time. How many years?
I've been married almost 40 years.
Why?
And funny thing is, when my wife and I first met, we went to rival high schools. And at that time, I was not her favorite person. I have to say that I was arrogant. I was an athlete. Stood out in all three sports, so I had an arrogance about myself.
What three sports? Break it down.
Football, baseball, and basketball.
Okay.
started in all of them at some point. Primarily football, I started from the time I got to high school. Basketball, I was moved up to varsity my sophomore year. Started a couple of games. Baseball, I started from the time I got to high school. Played semi-pro baseball for a couple of years. Just athlete, you know, love sports. And the funny thing is, the first time I ever caught a baseball or caught a football, my mom threw it to me. You know, my dad, like I said, he wasn't around. My grandfather was much older. The thing my grandfather taught me was how to survive, how to live off the land, fishing, hunting, growing crops. You know, so he taught me the necessity of life, how to survive, you know, under any circumstance.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah. And what's that saying? I lost my train of thought. I'm jumping around.
You were saying how your mom, my grandmom, how she was the first person to, I guess, introduce you to sports in a way.
Because at a young age, because she was an athlete herself, she played basketball in high school, and so that was her sport. But she knew that I was athletic because I always ran around. I was the only child, I am the only child that she has. So I always run around. I used to create games to play outside by myself, and a lot of times they thought other kids from the neighborhood was out there playing with me, but it was actually me out there taking on all the voices, and
Your
you
imagination.
know, yeah, the imagination was going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was moving into high school. After high school, I had scholarships, so I took a baseball scholarship and went to Selma University, and played baseball there. Once I graduated, my wife and I met my wife right after I graduated college. And like I said, the thing is, when we first met, she could not stand me. That's what I was talking about. She, because I was so, I was arrogant in high school, and I'll be the first to admit it. But the funny thing was, I used to go to her house. She had brothers. My wife's the youngest of 10 kids, and I used to go and play basketball with her brothers and kids from her neighborhood. Like, but we went to rival high school, so we didn't live in the exact same area. Just that, you know, everybody knew everybody. So one day, I finally asked her for a phone number. And she actually gave it to me.
Crazy.
But me being the arrogant person that I was at the time, I waited about 3, 4 days before I called her. And we talked for about, when I called, we talked for about 4 or 5 minutes. And she's like, okay, I gotta go. I got something to do. My mom needs me. I was like, okay, cool. I said, I'll call you back. So then again, I waited probably another, maybe close to a week before I called the second time. But when I called the second time, she had ch the phone number was changed. So I didn't think nothing of it. But then I saw her at church, and then I asked her, I said, like, hey, you know, I tried to call you and the number was changed. She's like, oh yeah, you know, we got so many of us. We got so many phone calls coming in on a daily basis. My mom was just, you know, tired of having to constantly answer the phone. 'Cause back then it was no answer machines or no, you know, there was even party lines back then where people shared the same phone number. Well, I'm telling my age, not for real, for real.
Hey, you know, it's like that.
Yeah.
I mean, grandpa status, so
yeah,
you know, come with it.
true. So, when she told me that, okay, I said, well, let me get the new number. She was like, well, no, you know, I'll call you. I'm like, okay, cool. And of course, that never happened. So years after that, you know, I saw her at church after, like I said, after I graduated college, I saw her at church. And every Sunday I would see her at church, my question to her was, have you got married yet? Every Sunday, every week. So then finally, August the 7th of 1983, I was like, hey, you won't go out to eat. And that threw her off. So she just started laughing, like, yeah, we can go out and eat. And that was our official first date. And like I said, nearly 40 years later, we've been together. And going strong, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but
Naturally.
through it all, you know, by the grace of God, we're still together. Like I said, we're still going strong.
Awesome, awesome. And it's great to hear. You know, great to hear. Like I honestly say, you know, watching you know, you and my mom's relationship has been a very effective blueprint for me. You know, just taking learning lessons from watching y'all, of course, going through my own journey through life, picking up lessons, you know, just throughout life.
All right,
But,
of course.
you know, knowing more, you know, of course, everything, you know, that you just said, you told me. And I think that's a good thing that, you know, that father and son should do, have these conversations. Let's talk about life anyway.
That's the thing, too. You know, as a father, you want to always give bits of wisdom, give bits of yourself as your life
mm-hmm.
journey, as what's happening in your life journey. You want to pass that on. Now, of course, my life journey is going, it's still going to be different from my son's, from AJ's. And if y'all don't know, I call him AJ. Everybody calls him AJ in our family.
Yeah.
It's important to do that. Although you want to give him the blueprint from what you went through, he still gives him the opportunity to take what you've gone through, apply it to what he's going through, so that he can build his own blueprint and pass that on to our, to my grandbabies, so they can fulfill their journeys.
Girl. So another question I wanted to ask you. Okay, so I remember how I felt when, from the time that Jeray told me she was pregnant with our firstborn, to the time of actually seeing his face, you know, and just thinking of like my personal emotions, it was like, wow, the excitement, the joy, the questions, you know, of course the nerves, because you know it's like, you know, it's your first baby, so it's like a lot of things flash through your mind. A lot of things flash through my mind. So when I was born, what were your initial feelings? Like, what was, like, you know, what feeling did you have as pertains to, like, seeing my face for the first time? Was yeah. the mixture of emotions you had?
All right. Well, with that, going back a tidbit, our first child, we lost our first child. Unfortunately, God was like, you're not ready. That's the way I interpreted it as that.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to call her home. And the reason I say her is because my wife is so spiritual, and your mom,
mm-hmm.
that she dreamed that her mom was with a little girl and looked just like my wife. And it was her, I'm going to say, conversation with her mom was that this was our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I view it as, you know, your sister, we lost her.
Mm-hmm.
But then at one point, the doctor was like, well, Mr. Williams, something's wrong. You may not father a child. And that really, really set my life, for lack of a better term, on a different path as to my thinking. But then again, God is always God.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what doctors or anyone else say, that wasn't their decision.
Mm-hmm.
The day we found out that we were expecting you, we had just come home, back home to Stone Mountain from Alabama, and my wife was like, I feel different. I haven't had my cycle. And I said, well, let's just get a test. Mm-hmm. You know, just throwing it out there. And then it came back, the rabbit was dead.
The rabbit was dead.
So my mind was like, wow. You know, boy, girl, I don't care. You know, God has made a way for us to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
Granted to say, 8.5 months later, there you were, you know. And the reason I knew that God was still in the game, because he blessed us that your birthday is the same date as my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
your great grandma. And the day you were born, man, I just standing there and I was looking at you, and I was in the, for medical reason, you know, your mom had to have you through cesarean.
Mm-hmm.
But that just gave me even more, you know, I don't know, I can't put a word to it, but just to see you when they held you up, you crying and you're looking just like your mama. And I was like, wow. So I was just sitting there looking at you, and my wife was like, your mom's like, okay, you might as well go on and go with them, because, you know, I don't, you, you folks, you're not even looking at me.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, no, it ain't like that, babe. I'm just, you know, tears coming. And she's like, no, you're going, because I know you want to watch everything they do. So that's what happened. I walked out. They had cleaned you up, took you into the, the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's called. And they held you up to the window for me, and they put you in the bassinet. And I'm just standing there looking at them like, that's my boy. You know, that's me. You know, that's who God has gifted me with. You know, so I was just standing there, man, and tears and taking it all in.
Yeah.
The funniest thing was, you were born with so much hair on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was standing next to me, and he was like, hey, man, you know, congratulations. Like, yeah, congratulations to you. And he's like, which one is yours? I was like, right there. I didn't say here. I just said right there, because you was like, the way they put you, it was like right in front of me. And the guy was like, oh man, you got such a pretty little girl. You know? And I just started laughing, and he was looking at me, and I said, well, thank you. I said, but though, no, that's a little boy. He said, oh man, he said, I saw all that hair. You know, he said, I'm the first time I ever seen a baby with that much hair. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. I said, he got it from his mom. And but yeah, man, the greatest joy of my life was the time I first laid eyes on you. Well, I take that back. That's the second greatest, because the greatest was when I was actually able to hold you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I knew then that, you know, you were my responsibility, and I was going to do everything to make sure that your life was different from mine in the aspect of me being there as a father, you know, to make sure that you had everything you needed and pretty much everything you wanted.
Mm-hmm. Y'all did more than both, my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but... yeah, that's that. Appreciate you sharing that. That's very powerful. Just hearing, you know, the unique perspective of just the triumphs of, you know, bringing life into this world.
Right.
You know,
don't let, and no matter what, you know, if there are any men out there or couples out there listening to this, and a doctor tells you, you know, that this, it can't happen, or it's not going to happen, or there's a problem. Like, God has the last say in that, you know, that's up to God. You know, the knowledge and the ability that doctors have or get or gain, that's a blessing from God for them to even get to achieve that. So don't give up, you know, just don't give up the faith on that. You know, don't give up your dreams of that.
Hey, remember Abraham and Sarah.
There you go.
You know, God had that promise. Exactly. Took a lot of detours, a lot of waiting, but
exactly,
you know, God's plan, it will come to pass.
It will. You gotta be faithful in it, and believe me, it will. It may not come the way that you would look at it, or you're looking for it to come, but in His time, it will. You will see that.
Okay, so now, talked about your childhood, your upbringing, your experience of, you know, holding me for the first time. I want to shift the gears, you know, just a little bit, but. Okay. With me becoming a dad, so you transitioned, like I said, from father to now granddad.
To papa. Yeah.
So what was that like, seeing your grandchildren, seeing them and holding them for the first time? Like, what's that like? You know, I ain't there yet.
Right.
You know, I can only imagine, but like, you in it, so.
Yeah. It was the same amplified.
Mm.
You know, to see that there are little men that's now in this world to carry on a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And another little one with a head for the half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just thinking, okay, I've got my son to the point where now he is a father. You know, now I have to help him to be the type of father that I hope that I've been for him. To give him as much guidance as I can, not to be overbearing to the point where I'm telling him how to raise his child. You know, because as I said, times now are different,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the way he looks at things, well, I keep saying the way you look at things,
mm-hmm.
in a lot of cases are different than the way I look at them,
mm-hmm.
or the way I looked at him as being a young father. So I'm going to, it's just being able to be here to give him the input that I can. That I have, if I see something, I think I may have input on to better it or to give guidance for it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, to listen and not be that father that says that you're wrong in how you're raising your child.
Right.
You know, because there are things that you want to do because that is your child.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, seeing them two little dudes, same thing, head full of hair, and I'm like,
we got that hair thing down.
Yeah, they got the hair thing down packed.
Yeah.
You know, again, that's getting from the mom. But of course, your mom, you know, with your mom being Indian, well, part Indian, because mm-hmm. her grandmother was full Choctaw. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, hair, and you've seen all your aunts and uncles and stuff, that long hair just runs in that side of the family, and that's one thing you got from her. So, that's why I felt, man, just. Knowing that now I'm a papa, and then hearing both of them say it, even saw it at one, just to see him when we FaceTime and he see me on the phone, and as soon as he see me, it's papa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Sonny, of course, he knows, you know, he'll FaceTime me on his own. When he started doing that at 2, I'm like,
yeah, you know, like when you start doing
yeah,
that,
that's what I'm saying. He'll just take the phone, and I'm thinking it's you FaceTiming me, but he done got your phone without you even knowing it, and he FaceTimed me.
Yep.
You know, so just that's the relationship I want to continue to have with my grandchildren. You know, knowing that they can call on me just like with you, can call on me, and Papa's always gonna be there. You know, at least till the Lord called me home, or you know, we're no longer together. And no matter, because life is what it is, and you know, when the Lord's ready for one of us, He's gonna call us.
That's real.
You know, so until that time, to make sure that I'm always there for them, because you know, I will do whatever the phone ever rings, I'm gonna answer. If I know it's ringing or FaceTiming. You know, I don't want them thinking, oh, I call Papa out, he ain't answer. No.
Yeah.
You know, I try to answer on the first ring when I know it's one of you guys.
That's real deal. That's real deal. All right. Yeah, I can most definitely say, you know, go give you your flowers. You know, most definitely very much the definition of a present father, which I appreciate. But one thing I will say, I don't think I ever told this to you, but one thing that I appreciate even more than that was seeing you be a father figure to my friends who either didn't have a father in their life, or the father just wasn't as present, active, or just, you know, plain and simple, weren't good fathers.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's something that I would say made even more of an impression than you being, you know, I mean, it's still the same impression, but it was powerful to see you take kids that weren't your own and yet still give them advice, still hold them accountable, and still, like, you know, I remember, you know, one of the biggest memories from my childhood, especially when I you know, was in high school, you know, the great Redan High School, shout out to the Redan Raiders, you training us, me and different guys from the team, different guys from the neighborhood, you taking the time out of your day, you know, you get off work, and you'll just work, you'll train us until, like, late night, you know, whatever that may have looked like,
right.
But you doing that, knowing, you know, really not knowing where everybody will end up in life.
Right.
But still just investing your time into them, speaking life into them.
Exactly.
You know, treating them like you treat me.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I think is very important. And it really is what this podcast is about, man. Life and fatherhood. Part of being a father isn't just about raising your own kids.
There you go.
But that's just pouring life into all kids.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I couldn't tell you how many times I would just talk to, you know, old childhood friends, and they talk about how you and my mom, how y'all left a deep imprint in their mind. Like, it's just a kid, you know, that lived right over there, right up the street. He had mentioned me on Instagram, and the first thing he mentioned was how, like, remember it was cold growing up, and she, you know, my mom didn't want to stand out in the cold, so she would drive us to the bus stop, and she would always reference the school bus as the cheese wagon.
Yep.
It's been how many years? It's been like 20-something years.
Well, yeah.
It's been 20-something years, but he messaged me saying, like, I remember your mom, you know, talking about that cheese wagon. I remember your mom feeding us, you know, all the time. It's just, you know, it's about that community and building that connection of, you know, reminding people around us, like, hey, life is bigger than just the individual. But
that literally is the way that we were raised. Like, so we come from an area in Alabama, like I said, it was called Seal, Alabama. And your mom was born and raised in Lato, Alabama. Well, she was born in Georgia, but she was raised in Lato, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But then during that time back in the 60s and further, those years back then, it was a village. It was truly a village that raised a child. And the one thing with me personally, my grandmother always told us, you know, me and my cousin, because we were raised like brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't raised like first cousins. You know, I was literally almost grew up in that house. Little four room house. Then we expanded it and made it, you know, a 5-room house. But she always instilled in us to never meet a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can help somebody or give somebody advice or do anything for somebody, do it, you know, and do it without expectation, you know, no expectation as far as not to being paid for it or someone, you know, wanting to give you something for it. No, you do it because it's the right thing to do. And yeah, like the kids in the neighborhood, that's just the way we were raised, you know, and that there are kids that you grew up with that you could tell their fathers, and it could be that their fathers worked a lot or, you know, had a lot of other things that they were trying to do being fathers, just did it in a different way. Fortunately, my wife and your mom, well, my wife and your mom, well, yeah, my wife and your mom.
You say your wife.
We were raised that way where we knew how to adjust our time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We knew how to create the time to do the things that we did. Mm-hmm. Training you guys, that was really a privilege for me. Mm-hmm. Because while I'm helping get your bodies together, I also was in a position where I can help them with the mind. Mm-hmm. You know, to let them know, hey, you know, not all situations are the same. You know, your dad might be working, your dad might be traveling, your dad might be, you know, whatever. But doesn't mean that he's not a good dad. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had one of the guys' parents, you know, say that to me. You know, really appreciate, you know, you taking the time with my child. You know, and that was enough. You know, they didn't have to say it. I did it because I loved it. You know, I love them kids like, you know, like I love you to a certain extent like that. Whereas they could ask me for anything. If I had it, I'd give it to them. You know, that needed some advice, I was there for them. And that's just the way that, you know, life was for us growing up. And we just passed that on, you know, with hopes that, you know, one, it helps keep them out of trouble, which is one of the things that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, because so during that time, you know, so many things that kids could get into. Even now, it's even worse now. Mm-hmm. But during that time, things kids could be getting into or doing unproductive. And we were just determined to give them something to look forward to, where they could feel safe, a safe space, a space where they knew they were comfortable and, you know, they wasn't judged.
Yeah.
You know, and they were always going to be treated the same.
Yeah, a lot of fun times in that dungeon, man.
Oh, yeah.
Pops, I appreciate you, you know, offering your time.
Of course.
Of course, you know, this was already going to happen.
Right.
Of course, you're going to be the first guest. I appreciate
it. Yeah. Hopefully, it won't be there'll be other time.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, yeah. Podcast grows and, you know, situations come up that maybe some, you know, one of your listeners might have questions that I may be able to answer, or your mom, you know, even your grandma may be able to answer, you know, or give them a different perspective or a different insight into.
Yeah. For sure. But yeah, I appreciate you all listening, taking the time out of your day to, you know, tap in with us, you know, take your time to listen to, you know, what we have to say. Know for a fact, I'm confident that this has been a blessing to you all. This has been a blessing to us having this conversation. Like I said, you know, I look forward to connecting with you all. Once again, feel free to subscribe. Follow me on all my socials, Alonzo Williams Jr. Dad, thank you again. Or Pop.
More than welcome.
You know, I call you Pop.
Yeah, you know, I like who the dad is.
Yeah, Pops, I appreciate
Pops.
I appreciate you know, everything that you've done, everything that you do. And yeah. Until next time, everyone, God bless you.
God bless.